About.
Shelley's ready.
Okay. I will call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this 4th of December 2012. I would ask the members of the audience to stand and join the board as we honor our nation with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good. Okay. Board and audience, before we move on down into the agenda a little bit, the Board of Supervisors is really honored today that we have a few special guests. Students, clients of Community Life Program, they have a program called COIL, and you'll hear a little bit more about that a little bit later. We have adjusted the program a little bit today to allow, give them an opportunity to make a presentation and also to sit in for whatever part of the board proceedings that they possibly would like to remain, just to kind of see how county government actually operates in a public setting. But they haven't had a chance to meet these other two guys. I was telling them a little bit about county government earlier, starting at 9:30 today, and how county government operates. But Supervisor Sanders and Supervisor Toot were elected in 2010, so they've been on the job for the past 2 years, actually taking office right at the start of 2011 and so forth. So they've actually been going through 2 years, and we have done just remarkable things. So I'm really excited to be working alongside these two people, and you're going to see and hear a lot more about them in the upcoming months. So, again, on behalf of the Board of Supervisors, we want to especially thank you and thank all of those that are connected with you and your program. So, under item three, if we're looking at the agenda, this is, says the first item is a CLP update and call leadership presentation. I'm going to call on Director Gayla Harkin, Community Life Director, to kind of give a little background in that, and then we're going to hear from a representative of the call group. Okay? Welcome.
Good morning.
Morning.
I want to thank you so much for hosting our group this morning. For those of you who don't know, COIL stands for the College of Independent Learning, and it's a program that our consumer group came up with, basically, and it mirrors the college schedule. So we have courses that are designed to promote different sorts of skill building, different sorts of educational acquisition, just like you would in college. And it runs the same sort of a thing along the semester concept. So we have a college catalog that's put together with people's input on what sorts of things they want to see and be able to focus on. We have different classes that, like the leadership class, where they're working on developing their skills on self-advocacy and how to become more involved in their community and taking more of a leadership role, not only in the larger version of their life, but also in the smaller version, the day-to-day management sorts of things. There are classes on learning how to use sign language. There's classes on learning how to navigate the community, how to take better care of yourself personally, how to organize yourself socially, what kinds of volunteer contributions can you make so that you can give back to the community. It really is about a comprehensive plan, a comprehensive college, if you will, on how do you become the most well-rounded, best person that you can possibly put forward. It's exactly the same thing that we want for our students when we send our kids off to college and what we hope to gain from that experience ourselves. So it mirrors that entirely, and that's what COIL truly is about. This group, the leadership group, I was most impressed that they came forward early into their semester and said that they would like to do a fundraising activity, and I think that I brought that back to the board and got permission for them to go ahead and do that, and they will be hearing a report from I think, Lynn in a few moments on how that actually went. And when she's done, I have another fundraising thing that I'd like to speak to you about. So anyway, I wanted to thank you first and foremost for hosting that, and Wayne, especially thank you for helping them with a small primer on how county local government works. So thank you so much. I'm going to just do a very brief sort of a report this morning, just to give the flavor of the types of things that we, when I come over on a routine basis, I'm scheduled. I go through Shelley over there, and she manages basically this agenda part for the board. And I'm on the agenda on a routine basis. And what I'll do is give, you know, reports on the financial things, numbers of people that we serve, and those sorts of things, and also some special items that are going on. So that's essentially what I do when I come over here and give a report. And then I also work with Deb Shildroth, which a lot of our folks know and work with. And we talk a lot about the mental health and the disability services system from the county's perspective, and how we kind of fit all those services together in sort of a bigger picture kind of a way. So that's also another thing that I'd be coming over to do. So some of the things that I'd be talking about, and I am going to talk about just very briefly, is to let you know that today we are having our technical assistance visit from Ellen Condon, who is, I believe, from Washington State, for the Employment First grant that we're a part of. This grant has been given to four agencies. There's five providers. One of the awards has been given duly to a group that's working together, two different providers. But it's about helping persons find community integrated employment, supported employment, who maybe have gone underserved in the past for a variety of reasons. And Ellen is at our agency today working with Maureen and her staff on meeting some of the people that we've identified who are going to be a part of our project, and helping give suggestions to us on how to best move that forward. So we're pleased to have Ellen there. When I get back, I'll be meeting with her and get some input also as far as how do we take the information she has and apply it to where we're at. We have been working very hard on our budget, which is due to you this Friday. And what we have done, in spite of the uncertainties out there with the funding and the changes that are in place right now from a state perspective, we went ahead and just budgeted as if it's business as usual, and that's where we'll go, and we'll move forward with that and plan accordingly then with whatever else may come about, because as you know, sometimes we get the information in a timely manner and sometimes we don't. So, but anyway, we've gotten a lot of input from people about what services need to be continued and how we want to continue to move forward. So that's inclusive in my budget as well, and that'll be coming. Also, compiling a list of new policies and revised policies that come to you routinely, usually at the first meeting of the year, so that you make sure that you're aware of whatever kind of procedural changes we might be getting ready to implement. So be looking for that packet to be coming to you soon. I think that there's probably 10, 15 different policies that have required some revision and some that are new, that we'll be detailing that. But that's also another piece of how our agency and the other departments within the county system work. The Board of Supervisors has the ability and the responsibility to look at what we're doing and ensure that it's in sync with how they want to see things going along. And they also may review those with like personnel or anybody else that they would like to run them by. So as you know, that'll be coming. I'm just giving you the alert for that. We have several people who are getting ready to move into independent apartment things because it is January coming up, and that means that people who are moving out of their lease situation with the university, we have the two windows of opportunity for moving, August and January, And so we have a few people shuffling around for apartments and are busy working with that as well. Thursday, we are having our holiday party that will be catered in, as we have done for a number of years from Hickory Park. And we have music being provided. We have a dance along with that. And John Lee Egan, who was our vocational rehabilitation counselor, is who we've always had provide the music as a DJ service. And he's passed that on now to his nephew. So we'll get son of John Lee Egan music. And I think we have about 80 people coming to that dinner and are going to be participating in that. And also from a holiday standpoint, the group homes are getting ready. I'm not sure which house it will be, but people who may not have family or somebody to go and be with during the holiday season, we make it available that people can come together and have a congregate meal with friends and our family. So that's in the process of being put together, and people are working on that. So that's my brief report, and hopefully it gives our students an opportunity to kind of understand some of the things that I bring over and talk to you about. And so now I want to invite Lynn Richmeyer, who I believe is the representative from the COIL leadership class, and she's going to give you an update on how the fundraiser actually went, and then we're going to talk a little bit about another fundraising idea that we would like to put out there for your consideration. Have a seat, Lynn.
Thank you, Gayla.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, my name is Lynn, and I represent the leadership group from Community Life. We recently finished a fundraiser selling pizza punch cards from Casey's. We raised over $800 and were able to keep $399 for the leadership group. Some ideas we have had for the money we earned are a wellness program, hosting a lunch and learn, and continuing education such as CPR and first aid. We also plan to host a holiday breakfast for peers at CLP. For future fundraisers, we are considering local businesses such as the Pizza Ranch, Bussing Tables, or Little Caesars Pizza Kits. Thank you for your time.
Hey, great.
Very good.
Good. Now, where's my card? I thought I was going to get a VIP card this time, for the pizza.
Show me the money.
I was waiting on that to come up. Well, thank you. It sounds like you had a lot of success with that, and I know from each year that usually you pick a project for fundraising, and it seems to go quite successful. So,
well, this was our first year for this. So.
This particular one?
For this particular class, yes.
Oh,
we've had other fundraisers that clients, like with the Consumer Council, for instance. We
there
did the garage sale. Remember, you helped with that,
right?
Too. So we've had different sorts of events. This is the first one that the leadership class
has actually
spearheaded.
So it was a positive experience, then, would you say? Great.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. All right.
The next thing that we've, from a CLP perspective, that we're thinking of doing from a fundraising aspect, and I'm inviting the leadership class to help us with this project, is that we would like to be able to take orders for fresh-baked cinnamon rolls for the holiday through the county system, and we're proposing that we would charge $10 a dozen or $5 for six, and we would be bringing those over in the class if they'd be willing to do this, would help us assemble and deliver those. If it's permissible, we would like to be able to put that out on our email system to people here within the county, and all the proceeds are going to go to the client fund. And the client fund is what we use to help offset expenses for recreational activities for everybody. So that's one of the things that we kind of had in the offing that we'd like to promote, if that's...
Gayla, how is this one different than, say, a typical fundraising type of activity? Usually when you have the cards and things of this nature, it's just a general announcement to anyone who wanted to purchase those. But I think this one is the proposal sounds like you'd like to try to structure it a little bit differently, so I'm just curious as to how this one is basically different from what we've done in the past with some of the other fundraising activities.
It's very similar. I just wanted to make sure that I had alerted you that I know that we need to be mindful of how we use our email system and things like that. So I just wanted to alert you and make sure that you were all right with us continuing to do this with this next project. So really, it's no different. I'm just wanting to ensure that you know that this is our intent and that we want to move forward
so
with it.
So it's a strictly voluntary program.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Just reaching out to any Story County employees that might wish to purchase these nice sticky rolls, I'm going to call it.
If you've had any of Cindy's sticky rolls at some of our meetings, you know that
they're very good.
They're very, very good.
Right. Find me up for a dozen,
good.
Please.
All right. Well, I got to at least match him. I can't let him get ahead of me.
All right. That's great. So I will be putting out the email on their behalf, and I think that the leadership class I was going to invite to assist with this and maybe a couple of other consumer groups, because I think it'll be a large project for them to do and a good way to help supplement
right.
the activities that the entire client base would be interested in doing. So,
okay.
All right.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Great.
Thanks, Gabe.
Anything else? Good. Well, Lynn, that wasn't all that bad, was it? Okay. All right. All right, so moving on to the agenda then. You're welcome to remain as long as you'd like. We'll try to move through things fairly rapidly. Item number four is a public comment portion. This is where members of the audience may address the board on topics that is on today's agenda. Is there anyone that would want to address the board regarding an item on today's agenda? Okay, seeing no one, then we'll move on. To item number five is a consideration of the minutes of 11-2012 and 11-2712 and the 11-2012 canvas.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and second. The approval of the minutes, as mentioned, is there further comments? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, minutes are approved. Item six is a consideration of personnel action. They have been outlined as your minutes suggest. There's no additions.
Approval. Second.
It's been moved and second. The approval of the personnel action. Hearing no further comment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Personnel actions are approved. And then item seven is consideration of claims.
Another good one. Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and second. The approval of claims. Hearing no further comment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. Claims are approved. Okay. Item number eight is the consent agenda. And just for the clients, students that are here, generally when these are routine things that come before us that require really no discussion, and they're usually contracts or things that have been reviewed by the county attorney or things of this nature, it's put on a consent agenda, and it's just acted on in one motion. So we do need to add additional utility permit number 1337 and 1338 to the consent agenda list.
Move approval.
Second.
It's been moved and second. The approval of the consent agenda. This is a roll call. Sanders?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Clinton? Aye. The consent agenda is adopted. Okay. And then moving on down to item number nine, no public hearing this week. And then item 10 is the first additional item. And this is consideration of resolution 1338, approving the final agricultural subdivision plat of Welty Subdivision, located in lands under the ownership of Paul Welty, CO from Hertz Farm Management, and we will turn to Planning and Development Director Leanne Harder for the background.
Thank you. As you said, this is considered the Welty Agricultural Subdivision plat.
I just have a few slides for you. I don't expect you really to read that. This is outlined in the staff report, too. Just basic property information. Property owner is Paul B. Welty, Jr. Kyle Hansen with Hertz Farm Management is operating in the property owner's behalf as the applicant. Several tax parcels are involved. There are seven tax parcels, but I'll just simply say we're located in Section 10 of Nevada Township rather than reading the entire legal description. Currently, the property is zoned A1 agricultural and is used as crop production ground. I have an aerial photo that I'll get to and go over that with a little bit more detail. The nature of the request is to develop an agricultural subdivision plat of those seven existing parcels into three new lots and four outlots. And I have a plat here. I'll demonstrate how that looks. And it's kind of confusing to look at, to be honest. But once you see it with the relationship to aerial photography, it assists. As an ag plat, it's being done as a combined preliminary and final plat. That comes right to the Board of Supervisors. We did review in the staff report conformance to the regulations. I just want to highlight these three items. Requirements were waived by members of the conceptual review team, interagency review team, and so those were not needed to be satisfied. In addition, at the time the staff report was prepared and sent up to the Board of Supervisors, we had a letter from City of Nevada indicating that they would be waiving their review authority in accordance with the Code of Iowa requirements. And I followed up with Mr. Sean Cole with the City of Nevada, and they've scheduled that meeting date for that resolution consideration for December 10th. That will be needed prior to the time that this could be recorded. And then, again, requirements of Section 7.40, lots, were not shown in the face of the plat. If you'll recall in the Heinz subdivision a couple weeks ago, very similar issue. Because this is an agricultural plat, staff's of the feeling that we really don't want to have these shown in the face of the plat. These are not buildable lots, and it's our understanding they're not intended for development purposes. So it's almost misleading to have these requirements shown on the face of the plat. So we would recommend waiver of those standards. This is a screenshot of the surrounding property owner. That's what SPO stands for, surrounding property owner notifications. The greenish area in the kind of the donut hole of the blob is the subdivision boundaries, and then everything with the hatched line are the properties within a quarter mile or 1,320 feet that were notified of today's meeting. And this is a copy of the proposed plat. I've circled the three lots, lot 1, lot 2, and lot 3. Lot 2 is that little triangular shape up on the part, the northern part of the plat towards the top. Lot 1 is over to the left-hand side above where it says Union Pacific Railroad. And then lot 3 is everything south of that. A lot of the lines in there that you see are already existing aliquot part lines that were done with the original public land survey, and they are required to be shown on the face of the plat, but that's not how it's being proposed to be divided. There are also four outlots, and I'll explain those shortly, but they are all tied to existing right-of-way. This is a screenshot of the existing aerial photography the county has of record. You see Lincoln Highway there on the north, and it comes down kind of in a southeasterly fashion with a curve. I forgot my pointer, but right up where I've drawn this, right in here, this is called the Iron Cross. Whoa. Commonly called the Iron Cross. That's where the two railroads, one crosses over the other. This is the where the Lincoln Highway goes underneath the railroad, just to orient you. To your west would be the city limits of Nevada, about a mile. And it's being proposed all the land north and west of the railroad is lot 1, all the land south of the railroad is lot 3, and then again that little triangular shape up here in the corner is lot 2. If you see this green dashed line, this is existing county right-of-way along Lincoln Highway. I'm sorry, this is touchy. That's all proposed in the outlots. So again, outlots are not intended for development purposes as well, and they're generally reserved for right-of-way. You as a board have four alternatives. So you may adopt resolution 13-38. You may deny it. You may approve it with certain conditions. Or lastly, you may send it back to staff for any further information, and I will be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions, Board?
I don't have any.
Okay. Cut and dry. Okay. Since there are no questions, I would entertain a motion.
I would move approval of Resolution 1338 with the first alternative.
Second.
Been moved and seconded the approval of Resolution 1338, which is the final agricultural subdivision plat as submitted. Is there further discussion? Hearing none. Roll call, Toot.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton. Aye. Resolution 1338 is adopted. Okay.
Great.
And then next up on our list is agency report, Central Iowa Tourism and Ames Convention Business Bureau. Julie Weeks, welcome.
It's always a good day when Julie comes to visit.
Hey, it's always a good day in Iowa when it's about 67 degrees
outside. Is that how warm it is? Oh, my God.
Talk about it. You're going to jinx it.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Did you?
I'm changing my marketing plan.
You didn't see about the cold wave that's coming down later this week, right?
We live in Iowa. Morning. It's been a while. The first thing, you have two very important pieces of paper in front of you. The first one is an invitation to the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau annual meeting, which will be December 10th. Story County is a member of the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, and members do receive complimentary tickets to that event, so we would invite you to put that on your calendar. Mm-hmm. The next one you have on there is a very interesting webinars that are available by Central Iowa Tourism Region. The Iowa Department of Tourism and the three regions, there's a central, western, and eastern region, have become much more aggressive about their educational opportunities. And they are pooling some of their monies, and this is actually available, again, to anybody in Story County. You can register for these two seminars, and the first one is on marketing on a minuscule budget, and the other one, the art of branding of a community. And these feature Roger Brooks, who has been in Ames before, and he is truly a national guru on branding and destination marketing. He does a lot of research and has a lot of information about how communities, what communities can do to make themselves more attractive to visitors. So if anyone has extra time or if we can publish that so individuals around the county would know about those webinars, they are available to, like, all the small communities in Story County as well. So I wanted to give you that. Also, at the tourism conference this fall was in October. It was hosted by Central Iowa Tourism. And it's been hosted in Ames in the past. However, this time we lost out, darn it. And it was actually hosted at the new Prairie Meadows facilities in Polk County. But at that conference, the tourism industry has come forward with their two major initiatives, which I wanted to make sure you were aware of. That's not them. You're right. That just goes by itself. The first one is the school start date. Which got a lot of publicity last year at the state level, and that is really an initiative from the tourism industry that schools do not start in the middle of August. A lot of the counties, including Polk County, Okoboji, and some of those other areas, are hurt tremendously by the tourism industry when school starts in the middle of August. This year, I think school actually started before the state fair was over. So there is an initiative from the tourism industry on that particular item. And then also the state of Iowa, the tourism office, is the lowest funded entity within the surrounding states for tourism. So we continue to try to find additional funds for the marketing of Iowa as a destination nationally. Also this year at the tourism industry, they have been doing more research, and Smith Travel Research is the major research company for hotels, for overnight visitors, and the general hospitality industry. So this is a report and information that they shared that I thought I would just take a few minutes of your time and share with you, because it's not readily available to us. And these are Iowa's numbers about the tourism industry for the past little bit, which will just give you, again, a little bit of an idea about what goes on in the tourism industry. In for hotels, and Smith Travel does a lot of hotel research, there are two types of travelers that they put them in two groups. One are group travelers, so those are individuals that are coming and attending an event, a special conference meeting, that type of event. And for Iowa, we still see a very strong group demand, as you can see, from 2008 through 2012. And this is all of Iowa. Then we have the transient traveler, which is the individual traveler that might be coming to visit a relative or because they're a salesperson and calling on an industry or organization. And the transient demand is also on rise in the state of Iowa. So the hospitality or the traveler individual for Iowa is also very strong. When they looked around the state of Iowa, they found that there are a new supply of hotels, and they are mostly in the Cedar Falls, Coralville, and Iowa City area. So these are new hotel properties that are coming online. There is not a lot of development in central Iowa at this point in time. They also show that occupancy is growing, but at a slightly slower pace. You can see that in 2009, the industry suffered greatly when the economy did. It was the first thing that a lot of individuals, including government agencies, could cut their travel budget. So you can see that we all took quite a hit there from an occupancy standpoint, and then it's been going back since. Also, average daily rate, ADR, is the term that's what you normally spend for your overnight stay, since 2009 has been growing steadily. Compared to the national economy, we did not suffer as much, but it's also because we don't have as high a rate. You know, if you could get a room in Chicago for $98, I think you'd be excited for it. Then they did an analysis, and they happened to divide the state up into areas based on the number of hotel rooms, and this was for 2012. So this is through August of the current year we're in. And you will find that Ames is in an area with Fort Dodge, and that our revenue per available room, RevPAR, and that's the combination of occupancy and average daily rate. So you will see that actually our area led the state of Iowa with an 11.2% increase over 2011. So a very healthy hospitality industry overnight visitors for our area around the state. Des Moines is not included in this because Des Moines is actually broken out into two areas in and of itself because of the number of hotel rooms that they have. And you will see that northern part of Des Moines had significant increase at 13.4, while the southern part was not quite as great, and western part. And, of course, we attribute that to all the great things that we're doing in Ames. I don't know that Des Moines does, but we did. Also, I took a look at the Iowa Department now gets the STAR report on a regular basis, and they get the Smith Travel report for the top 10 counties in Iowa. And Story County is the eighth largest county when it comes to the tourism industry for the state of Iowa. And you will see that I have put Story County up there versus Iowa. So in 2011, which is the yellow solid, the broken line is for the state, and you will see that Story County was slightly under the state's averages for RevPAR. And then this year in 2012, and this is through October, the broken line again, the red broken line is Iowa, and Story County is the solid line. So 2012 has been a very dynamic year for the hospitality industry in Story County.
What do you attribute that to?
It's an interesting combination of both group travelers. In Ames, we had the opportunity to host what I'm going to call 9 mega events, and they all happened to fall in a different month. and they ranged from everything from the Farm Progress Show to Odyssey of the Mind to the American College Theater Festival to the Hay Expo to the Beat Baseball World Series this summer, and they were all in a different month, so they each enhanced a slower time of the year. And then the transient traveler is definitely back up in Ames. Government travel is back. Enrollment is higher at Iowa State University. So the month of June, if you look up there, the month of June was pretty amazing. July and August, again, with travelers and students coming back. So a nice combination, a sort of a perfect storm of groups and individual travelers. Then also, just a quick, since it's the end of the year, the Ames, part of our agreement with the City of Ames in our collection of hotel motel tax is that 5% of everything that we collect is put aside and given to a community grant program for the following year. So I just wanted to give you a quick update on that. This current year in 2011, we had 32 applications and we had 22 recipients of over $52,000. And then next year, we now have had 35 applications and have sent out the approvals for 25 recipients for $55,000. And so as soon as we get all those back, we will give you a complete report of the individuals that received those funds. And those are not just for Ames. There are several within the county that receive funding as well. Any questions?
Thank you.
You continue to do an outstanding job in this particular area, and you did kind of highlight a little bit about the hotel situation earlier, and I remember about a week ago there was a little article regarding some of the concerns that we have for this particular region and still being competitive due to a lot of the conventions and different groups, different venues, and I thought it was an excellent report, and hopefully, the future may turn things around where this may be something that will become to fruition in this area. Right now, is it just kind of put on hold, do you think, at this point? Or
Central Iowa, Ames, Des Moines area, still all is a great destination for local and regional and state events. At some point, Ames will have to decide whether they want to remain in the market and what that will take to do. So we continue to work with them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. Next departmental report, information technology, Barbara Steinbeck. Welcome.
Barbara, they didn't want to stay to hear your report.
I mentioned it to him earlier.
Okay.
Who she was.
Does, and now I lost my opportunity. Okay. Well, Wayne introduced me earlier, so I did get a couple of people turned around and said thank you. So that was a nice way to start the day. I just wanted to update you on a few things. We've been really busy with the well-publicized jail conversion. And we're all breathing a sigh of relief. It went much better than expected. And I say that because of all the moving parts. We had several software packages that needed to talk to each other, and we had to work with ISU and the city in getting all that traffic routed through the firewalls correctly. So I must say I'm very proud of the way my team handled it. And we just have a few issues. I think I mentioned that they were able to book inmates in, and I was all excited about that. Well, the next day we found out that as the inmates left, the history had not carried over, so it was as if they had never been in the system. So they did, OSSI did give us a workaround for that, and they are installing a patch today. There were a couple things, just minor, that broke over the weekend. And they're installing a patch today, which will not affect anyone. They don't have to log out of the system or anything. So that's really exciting. And all that patch is going to fix is things like the copy and paste didn't work in some of the applications. And they weren't sending the state code. So when someone was picked up, it wouldn't pull their license plate if they're from out of state, things like that. One thing that We don't know if it's working correctly, and this is just because they haven't given us any way to double-check that is the Swanson, the commissary portion of this. It appears to be working, but we don't know what we need to check to make sure that it's working correctly. So they said that they would get us a little check sheet that we could look at that. So that's still coming. I'm kind of disappointed that Gayla left. I thought we could stand up and do the happy dance about the clip software that seems to be working correctly now. And the thing that put us over the hump on that, there were so many technical difficulties with this HTML editor that ACS had created, which they the clients just use this to edit the notes they put in about the patients. ACS decided to go with a third-party software, and the minute they put that in place, installed it, all the problems went away. They are able to copy and paste. They're able to capitalize, bold, underline, whatever they want. So they did mention there may be a cost associated with this, which we don't have that much money budgeted, and they know that. So we've tested it. Ron Thompson sent an email this morning saying, yay, yay, green light, I think it's really working. So now we have to say, okay, let the other shoe fall, and let's see how much this is going to cost us.
Let me just make sure I've got this straight. So we bought a program that didn't work in its entirety, so their solution to that is to install a secondary program over top of it, and then they want to charge us for fixing the program that we already bought from them?
It's a program they created to convert some data from the old AS400 system, and they did give us a budget. We did have $5,000 budgeted this year for any modifications or add-ons, and it was going to be that HTML editor. To ACS's credit, so far they have not charged us for the work they have put into that, and it's been almost 100 hours. We get an invoice every month that has the hours.
When we bought the original
and that was last year's budget, yes.
Last year's budget. Wasn't it our expectation that we would actually be able to bold and underline? I mean, wasn't that part of what we were sold?
That was something that we asked, that we requested afterwards, and that's why we budgeted $5,000 to cover those expenses. Now, so far they haven't charged us. So, and they haven't told us what their cost is for this HTML editor. So after we have another meeting scheduled that we're going to discuss whether we elect it or not, and informally we do. So
I'd ask that Jessica review the purchase agreement that we had with them.
Sure.
Just before we pay any more money, I just want to make sure we're getting what we thought we were getting.
This is a good question, Rick, and it's been an ongoing discussion for some time, and it just seems like as we run into a particular area where we're not quite, it's not as functional as we were led to believe. We're told that, well, it wasn't really designed to do this and that,
right,
and
exactly.
It's going to cost you something different. This seems to be the way the technology world works, and it's very frustrating because initially, unless we ask exactly and identify every specific program or thing that we'd like to have, then we come back and later on find out, well, no, we can't do that without an additional cost. And
you're
that's
very
the part
right.
That is extremely frustrating.
Well, yeah, what frustrates me is it seems to me that in the technology world, we seem to keep buying a pig and a poke, and then we have to pay this ongoing service fee
right.
In order to keep things functional. And maybe there's no way around it, but I want to make sure that the agreements that we sign were very specific about what our expectations are and what they're selling us. And then when it doesn't happen, I don't believe that the people of Story County ought to be ponying up any more dollars to
no.
get something to work like we thought it was going to work when we bought it.
Unfortunately, there were some assumptions that weren't spelled out, and I wasn't here then. I would have pointed those out, but going forward, I want to make sure that we do get exactly what we pay for.
And I'm
we
talking more about going
for.
Forward, and all I want to do is, in looking back, just make sure,
sure.
We are where we think we are.
You know, there have been some shame on me's, but, you know, we have to just take that and move forward with it, so.
And mine, it's not intended as a critique. It's just intended.
Oh, I understand.
We've got to keep a close eye on this stuff because when you look at what we're spending, in ongoing tech, not even new technology, just
ongoing.
Service,
yes.
Ongoing technology, it's unbelievable.
Yes, and you're right. We have purchase programs that are not being used. They never were installed. So we need to keep a closer eye on that.
Okay, thank you.
And that leads me into my next topic, which is the budget. And working diligently on that, and it is due this Friday. What I've done, we are doing a software reconciliation right now to make sure that we are paying for exactly how many licenses we use. We are running into some difficulties where we'll do the reconciliation and find out we have 8 licenses more than are being used, and we find out, oh, yeah, those people left. So we have to do a better job of working with HR to, when a person leaves the county, we need to be notified immediately so that we can shut off their email license, their spam license, things like that. I did send an email out to everyone asking for any hardware requests that they had for the next year to let me know so that I can include it in the budget so there are no surprises mid-year saying, oh, you know, I thought this computer was going to be replaced and find out that it wasn't budgeted. And so far I've had really good response on that, so I think people are being very proactive.
Have we made a determination yet? I know it's a conversation we had, Barb, kind of before you came on board and as you were coming on board. Any inkling as to whether we're moving more toward a virtual desktop system, or are we going to continue with standalone?
We are going to implement a virtual system on a test basis with CLP as our first module. Joel has been working. He's got everything in place. We're ready to roll that out. We wanted to wait till after the OSSI project was implemented. So by the end of December, we will have a test group at CLP, 5 to 10 users, using the virtual. There are some departments it won't work for example, the engineers. There's just too much. Their files are too large. There's too much processor needs to put them on a virtual workstation. But I won't say the whole county will be virtualized, but I'd say a good portion. I'd like to see that. That'll help with hardware costs and licensing.
Well, I mean, that's what I look at. I look at the three of us. There is no reason that the three of us can't be virtualized.
Right.
I mean, we don't need the processing power that a standalone unit provides, but we need to start making some of those decisions as we enter the budgeting process so that we know what we're replacing and why we're replacing it, and it can be there for the long haul.
I have. I also noticed a need in, and Shelley knows about this, with our inventory, our hardware inventory. There isn't really a policy on that, so we got together yesterday with the auditor's office, and we're formulating a policy, which will eventually be approved by you all once we have it fine-tuned, where hardware, anything computer-related will be addressed. We have problems with some departments buying their own computers and then wanting us to support it. We have to put it on our inventory, but what they don't realize is we have to make sure there's antivirus on it. We have to make sure that there's anti-spam. So my suggestion would be all computer, anything touching the network, be purchased by the IT department.
Barbara, I'm sorry to say, but I always thought that was always the way it was supposed to have been. I'm surprised to hear that you have discovered that there's a couple examples that
yes,
policy hasn't followed.
There are.
Well,
and
this
so,
will be something we can help follow up with you on. So, yes, because that should not. That was never the intent.
And that makes it a little more difficult because then when a piece of equipment is retired or moved to a different department, it makes it difficult for Shelley to keep up on the inventory to find out where it came from, where it's going, if it's, you know, being transferred or deleted. So we want to make sure that we have something that's formalized and that we can revert to or refer to in case there's a question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now that we're finishing up with the OSSI upgrade, we're moving into the Tyler upgrade, and we've already begun to have weekly update meetings on that. We went through the gap analysis, and this is the real estate upgrade. The gap analysis pointed out what we wanted and what the program would offer and resolve and then figure out what to do if they don't match. We did have the kickoff meeting, and I've submitted the hardware and software survey to Tyler so that they can make sure that we have the proper equipment in place to support this upgrade. And it's going to proceed through February, so hopefully that'll And I've seen the demo of the new software. It is just fantastic. It's amazing. I know the treasurer was a little disappointed at some of the reporting with the current version. I think they're going to be blown out of the water, and they seem impressed by what we've seen so far, so I'm excited about that.
And is it accurate that we've got to move back to one database with this? We can't have a separate database for the Ames assessor and the Story County assessor?
Right, and they're being...
Have we got the logistics worked out on that?
That is part of our hardware and software survey, which I will separately be working with them to evaluate that. So I've submitted it last week. They're currently looking at it, and that will be addressed once we come to a resolution on that. And that's all I have for you this morning. Do you have any questions?
No, not at this time. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You did the good work.
Thanks, Barb. You're doing a nice job.
Thank you.
Okay, liaison and assignments and committee updates, anything? No. No, I pass.
Pass.
Public forum number two, comments on items not on the agenda. Anything? Okay. Announcements from the supervisors.
Had fun last night. Drainage district in
Scranton.
One of my favorite roles that we have.
And let me thank you for last night. I thought your comments helped set the tone. It certainly turned out a lot different than I anticipated, but I think Supervisor Boone was equally felt good about how things ended up, and I thought your analysis and comments helped set a positive tone throughout the meeting, and I just wanted to publicly compliment you for that.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
It was interesting because Greene County supervisor is also a landowner and operator in Story and Boone County, and he happened to be at the meeting. So we asked him at the end of the meeting how things went. He says, is this any different than what you guys do? He says, no, this is exactly what we do in Greene County. So,
good. I mean, if you want a room full of people, just make it a drainage district. That's easy enough.
Great. Yeah. A little bit later in some of the upcoming board proceedings, I'm going to pass out two things. One of the meetings that I sat in at ISAC, the supervisors' meeting, I came away feeling very positive about just the discussion, and I wanted you to have those and have you look through this. I saw this as a potentially an area that we could engage in our staff work sessions as we also talk with other elected officials and departments. But I think if you can look through this report, Randy Feenstra, I thought did an excellent job. There was a good give and take instruction. And I think it's a lot of information there that we might want to follow up with as we begin to move forward. And it's talked about result-based government seminar. And this was just one of several sessions that I sat in on. And there was also another one on using the master matrix to your advantage. We had a representative of planning and development that sat in on that meeting. And I think they presented a couple concepts and ideas that were totally first time I've heard it, and I think a lot of the supervisors were surprised. So I think we have some areas that we will want to take a look at in the future when we are preparing to approve a master matrix, et cetera. And then the third item at this time, as you know, I indicated that Mike Wenzine, our lobbyist, had stepped down. We did accept his departure. We had an exit interview with him to plan for the next replacement. We have put together a committee of the exec board, and we have come up with a position announcement, and we will be receiving letters of interest that is to be submitted to ISAC through and to the chair, current chair of the supervisor affiliate, and then this committee will meet to review these letters of intent. And resumes are expected to be received by December 17th. So sometime later this month, I will probably be meeting with the exec team, and we will be screening the applicant for our supervisor's lobbyist, and I'll try to keep you posted on how that process. We've had at least five names of people, former supervisors, that have been mentioned to us as possible candidates to consider So I don't know how that's all going to play out. But all in all, it was a good session. And I know that both of you had an opportunity to sit in some things. So if at a later time you think that something that you garnered from your sessions would be something that we want to add to our discussion and planning, let's try to find a way to bring that to our attention, because I think this year of I thought there were many topics that I think were very germane to how we operate and some things that we could do to make it more efficient as we move forward. So I felt real good about the sessions. Okay, so with that, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Meeting is adjourned. Great.